Bible readings this afternoon, and they'll be up on the screen, but I'd also encourage you to turn to those in your own Bible if you have one. And the first comes to us from Genesis chapter 50. So our first reading is Genesis 50, and we're reading from verse 15 to 21. Genesis 50, beginning at verse 15. It says, "When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, 'What if Joseph holds a grudge against us and pays us back for all the wrongs we did to him?' So they sent word to Joseph, saying, 'Your father left these instructions before he died. This is what you are to say to Joseph. I ask you to forgive your brothers the sins and the wrongs they committed in treating you so badly. Now please forgive the sins of the servants of the God of your father.' When their message came to him, Joseph wept. His brothers then came and threw themselves down before him. 'We are your slaves,' they said. But Joseph said to them, 'Don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. So then, don't be afraid. I will provide for you and your children.' And he reassured them and spoke kindly to them." Our second reading comes from the book of Acts, and we're looking at Acts chapter 2, just a small section from verse 22 to 24. As you may be aware, this is this great sermon of Peter that he preached on the day of Pentecost. And at verse 22 he says, "Fellow Israelites, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him." And then we have one final reading from Romans chapter 8. And we're reading the verses 28 to 30. Romans chapter 8, beginning at verse 28. The Apostle Paul writes these words, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified." Amen. My friends, back in the year 1998, a movie was released, a movie called Sliding Doors. And this movie was, in my opinion, very intriguing and very thought-provoking. You see, the story of this movie is about the main character, Helen, played by Gwyneth Paltrow. And Helen goes off to work one morning, but then is told that she's been fired from her job. And so she leaves earlier than normal and goes to catch a train home. But as she rushes to get on that train, the sliding doors of the carriage are closing just as she gets there. And she misses it. Or does she? Because then the movie rewinds and the scene is replayed. But this time, the doors stay open just a little bit longer, and she manages to get on board. From this point onward, the entire movie splits into two very different storylines, each of them showing what happens to this woman based upon this seemingly insignificant event. In the storyline in which she boards the train, Helen takes a seat and she meets a stranger called James and she gets to know him. Then when she gets home, she actually catches her boyfriend with another woman, and as a result, she leaves him. And so Helen pursues a relationship with James who treats her well and encourages her to start her own business. And there are ups and there are downs, but generally life is pretty good. And the plot goes on from there. However, in the other storyline, intertwined with the first, where she misses the train, well, there things are very different. Helen never meets James and instead is mugged and she ends out in hospital. Eventually, she does make it home, but the other woman has already left and so she's oblivious to her boyfriend's affair and they stay together. She struggles to find work. She ends out taking two part-time jobs. There are still ups and downs, but overall, her life is far worse. And the narrative continues. So what's the message of this movie? It's telling us that the course of this woman's life and how it all turned out was determined by the simple matter of whether or not she boarded that train on that fateful day. That was, as has now become a popular saying, her sliding doors moment. And hence, the movie makers provide this description. They said, the split-second moments that can take a life down one path instead of another form the tantalising what-if in this delightful romantic comedy. Of course, the deeper message of the movie is that all of our lives are determined by seemingly insignificant decisions and incidents and moments. Our lives could be so different. In fact, they could be so much better if only certain things had gone another way. And thus our minds are consumed by a long string of what-ifs. What if I'd met the right person and now was married instead of single? What if I'd married someone else? What if I'd chosen a different course of study? What if I'd been offered a different job? What if we'd made that decision to live elsewhere? Or what if we hadn't made that decision? What if we'd have been able to have children? Or what if we didn't have children? How different our lives would be. What if that accident had never occurred? Or what if I hadn't got stuck in that addiction? What if that argument had never taken place? What if I had never contracted that disease? What if I'd gone to the doctor earlier? What if my loved one hadn't died? To put it another way, the message of this movie, and in fact the worldview of many, many people, is that life on this planet is ruled by chance. Our existence and our well-being are determined by random events. Some call it luck, some call it fate, some call it karma. And as a result, our lives are just filled with uncertainty. Anything could happen anytime. There's no guarantees, there's no assurances, there's no security. But we're also filled with frustration and regret. Because what if it had turned out otherwise? What if we'd made a different decision? How awful, how depressing, how terrifying to think that life could be ruled by chance. But friends, tonight we want to ask the question, is that true? Are our lives, and in fact, is this entire world ruled by luck and fate? Does everything just happen by accident? Is the future for us completely uncertain? Or is there more to this story? Well, as Christians, we know that there most certainly is. Because we know that this world and our lives and our destinies are actually ruled by God. I'd invite you to think about these verses from Proverbs chapter 16. Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and He will establish your plans. The Lord works out everything to its proper end, even the wicked for a day of disaster. In their hearts, humans plan their course, but the Lord establishes their steps. The lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord. Everything that happens, even the roll of the dice, is controlled by God. Listen to David's prayer in 1 Chronicles chapter 29. He says, "Yours, Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor, for everything in heaven and earth is yours. Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all." Well, there's Psalm 139. It says, "My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be." Well, there's Isaiah chapter 46. The Lord declares, "I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me. I make known the end from the beginning, from ancient times, what is still to come. I say, my purpose will stand and I will do all that I please. From the east, I summon a bird of prey. From a far off land, a man to fulfill my purpose. What I have said, that I will bring about. What I have planned, that I will do." You know, Jesus also spoke about this in Matthew chapter 10. Whoops. What did I do there? I think I might have pressed something that I shouldn't have. Oh, thank you. In Matthew chapter 10, Jesus says, "Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside your Father's care. And even the very hairs on your head are all numbered." And also Paul in Acts chapter 17 says this, "The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in temples built by human hands. Rather, he himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else. From one man he made all the nations that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. For in him we live and move and have our being." My friends, put all of these passages together and what we discover is that it is the Lord who rules and who determines everything, things big and things small. And thus there are no what-ifs, because everything that has happened in the past and the situation that we find ourselves in today and all that's going to transpire in the future is all planned and governed by the Lord. And friends, we have a term for this. We call it the providence of God. We saw that last week already when Reuben preached on Lord's Day 9 of the Heidelberg Catechism and explored what it means to believe in God the Father Almighty. It says in Lord's Day 9 that we believe that He not only created heaven and earth, but that He still upholds and rules them by His eternal counsel and providence. And now, Lord's Day 10 that we're looking at tonight digs deeper, because question 27 asks, what do you understand by the providence of God? And listen to the answer. Providence is the almighty and ever-present power of God, by which He upholds, as with His hand, heaven and earth and all creatures, and so rules them that leaf and blade, rain and drought, fruitful and lean years, food and drink, health and sickness, prosperity and poverty, all things, in fact, come to us not by chance, but from his fatherly hand. What a beautiful, poetic and comforting statement. And let's consider a few elements of that. First of all, providence, it says, is the almighty and ever-present power of God. Friends, we need to remember every single day that our Lord is supreme in strength and authority and might. He is far greater than any other force, whether physical or spiritual, whether good or evil. In Colossians chapter 1, it says, "The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together." And furthermore, his power is ever-present. There's not a single moment that he isn't in control. And so we're reminded of this in Psalm 121, where it says, "My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep." The Lord's Day also reminds us that the Lord controls absolutely everything. It says he upholds as with his hand heaven and earth and all creatures. He's not just involved with some people in this world. He's not just involved in some situations. He's not just involved in some nations, but with every square inch of the creation and every human being in it. And these words also remind us that he's in control of every event. "For he so rules them that leaf and blade, rain and drought, fruitful and lean years, food and drink, health and sickness, prosperity and poverty, all things," it says, in fact, "come to us not by chance, but from his fatherly hand. Every perceivable aspect of existence is under his control." And so, contrary to the message of that movie, Sliding Doors, and contrary to popular thinking, our days and our destinies are not ruled by chance, but they are ruled by God alone. But there's one more detail here, because did you notice that it says that all things come to us from his fatherly hand? This is actually just one of three mentions of God's hand in this Lord's Day. Earlier it says, he upholds us as with his hand. Later on it says, all creatures are so completely in his hand. Here it says, everything comes from his fatherly hand. And friends, what that highlights for us is that the Lord is not a harsh, cruel dictator without care or compassion for his people. But he is our Father who carries us in his own loving hands. Think of a dad holding his tiny newborn child. That, my friends, is a picture of how the Lord holds us. In Job chapter 12, it says, "In his hand is the life of every creature and the breath of all mankind." In Psalm 31, it says, "But I trust in you, Lord. I say, you are my God. My times, they're in your hands." Isaiah 41, "For I am the Lord your God, who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear, I will help you." And do you remember what Jesus said in John chapter 10? "I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. And 1 Peter chapter 5, humble yourselves therefore under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. My friend, you can believe in the providence of God. You can trust that in all creation, there is not a single event or a single situation or a single person that is not ruled by him. All things come to you in your life, not by chance, but from his fatherly hand. But that raises an important question, doesn't it? Because you may have noticed how the list of God's provisions also includes some things that are distinctly unpleasant. For among the obvious blessings, we also find here things like drought and lean years and sickness and poverty. Back in Lord's Day 9 that we looked at last week, it also said there, it spoke there about whatever adversity God sends me in this sad world. But I wonder, is that right? Is that right that the Lord actually gives people, the Lord even gives us as his children, hardship and struggle and illness? Does he give us unemployment and cancer and car accidents? You know, this is one of the greatest criticisms of Christianity. People say to us, if your God is so loving, well, then why is there so much misery and evil in this world? Surely if he's as good and as powerful as you say, well, then he would put a stop to it all. But you know, a lot of believers struggle with this as well. They know that God isn't the author of evil. They know that he is not the one who creates evil. No, these things exist because of human sin. And they also know that God, if God were to eradicate all evil, then he'd have to eradicate us as well. And so we should be glad that he allows this broken world to continue on until his saving work is complete. Believers are generally happy to say that the Lord allows bad things to happen, but yet there are many who are unwilling to say that he sends adversity, or to say that he gives drought and lean years and sickness and poverty. They just can't accept that such things could be from his fatherly hand. So what do you think? Does God not only allow, but does he actually control, direct, send hardship into our lives? Consider 1 Samuel chapter 2, where we find Hannah's prayer. It says, the Lord brings death and makes alive. He brings down to the grave and raises up. The Lord sends poverty and wealth. He humbles and he exalts. Or think of Isaiah chapter 45. He himself declares, I am the Lord and there is no other. I form the light and create darkness. I bring prosperity and create disaster. I, the Lord, do all these things. Friends, the Bible teaches that our Lord not only controls and provides good things, but also bad. Even the deepest hardship comes not by chance, but from his fatherly hand. And that can be very difficult to understand, can't it? How could the death of my dad when I was 13 be from God's fatherly hand? How could my burnout and departure from ministry in 2009 be from God's fatherly hand? And I'm quite sure that you can add your own examples. How can this hardship, how can this tragedy, how can this suffering be from God's fatherly hand? If we're ever going to to accept and understand this, then there's something more that needs to be added. And that is that while the Lord allows, controls, sends adversity, he never does so without good purpose. And that brings us to those passages that we read at the start. Do you remember what happened to Joseph in the later chapters of Genesis? His brothers, they were so jealous of him that they wanted him dead. But out of greed, they instead sold him into slavery in Egypt. However, many years later, in a time of famine, they went to that nation for help, and guess who they were confronted with? But did you hear what Joseph said in Genesis chapter 50? He said, "Don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives." Joseph suffered terribly because his brothers intended harm. But God also intended it. He intended his suffering, but he intended it for good. For through the bad that happened, Joseph ultimately came to a position of authority, and through it he could save his brothers. And friends, we see this pattern throughout the Old Testament. God sends trouble, but always for a reason, always for greater good. And this, of course, comes to ultimate fulfillment, does it not, in the New Testament, in our Lord Jesus Christ. Because, friends, I ask you, what is the most evil thing that has ever happened in this world? Surely it is the rejection, the persecution, and the execution of the perfect, loving Son of God. But even this horrendous act was completely under God's control. Listen to what Peter says in Acts chapter 2. He says, "Fellow Israelites, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders and signs which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross." God the Father deliberately handed over his own son to those who would kill him. And why? For the saving of many lives. For in this most evil act, Jesus bore our sin and purchased eternal salvation for all who believe. God used his suffering to bring about good. And friends, this continues in our own lives today. God sends adversity. We all know it. But yet in our third reading from Romans 8, we're reminded of this glorious truth. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Paul says in everything, in the positive and the negative, in the celebrations and in the sufferings, the Lord is working for your good. And friends, sometimes we may be totally unable to see it. Sometimes it seems impossible to us, but yet we can trust that it is true. The God who used the death of his own son for our salvation can also use the deepest struggles for blessing in our life. And so we truly can say that all things, both good and bad, come to us not by chance, but from his fatherly hand. But now the last thing we want to do is think about what good it does us to believe all this. And you know, I don't think there is any better summary than what we find in question and answer 28 of this same Lord's Day. Because there it asks, how does the knowledge of God's creation and providence help us? And listen to this answer. It says we can be patient when things go against us, thankful when things go well. And for the future, we can have good confidence in our faithful God and Father that nothing will separate us from His love. All creatures are so completely in His hand that without His will, they can neither move nor be moved. It's actually three points of application here, three benefits of knowing that life is not ruled by karma, fate, luck, but ruled by our Lord. First of all, we can be patient when things go against us. If we truly believe that our compassionate Father is in control, that even the most difficult situations have good purpose in His plan, well, then we will be able to find peace and contentment, no matter how hard it gets. Like Job, you'll be able to say, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised." Let's learn to trust the Lord, even in adversity, because His mercies never fail. But secondly, we can be thankful when things go well. Friends, when life is sweet, we should never put it down to good fortune. We should not be thanking our lucky stars. No, we should be grateful to the one who blesses us. Remember what Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. He said, "Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." And thirdly, it says, for the future, we can have good confidence in our faithful God and Father that nothing will separate us from His love. Isn't that awesome? There is no need to be overcome by sadness or worries or fears, because God knows. God knows what lies ahead in your life. He knows the ups and the downs. He knows how it will all work for good. And He knows that He will never, ever leave you. The Catechism here is, of course, referring to those marvellous words in Romans chapter 8. No, Paul writes, no, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Friends, Sliding Doors is a very thought-provoking movie. But you know, I could never live by its philosophy. To always be wondering, what if? To think my destiny is being controlled by random events. How awful that would be. So how good to know that our lives are actually upheld by our mighty and loving God. Our world is ruled by Him so completely that nothing comes by chance. But it's all from His fatherly hand. He's the one who can use evil for good. He's the one who works everything for our benefit. He's the one who gave His own Son for our salvation. What a God. What a Saviour. And what comfort to know His providence in each and every one of our lives. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we want to ask You now to work deep in each and every one of our hearts by Your Holy Spirit, that we might truly believe and trust that You are completely in control of this world and of our lives and of every single thing that happens. Father, help us to trust that even the greatest hardship has good purpose in your plan. Help us to trust that even when we cannot see it for ourselves. And Father, may this knowledge comfort us and give us great hope. Thank you for showing us that there are no what-ifs in life, that we are exactly where you want us to be, and that nothing will ever separate us from your love. Amen.